Okay, so since the message for today is about prayer, and it had to do with the activity that we had, first of all, I'd like to thank each and every one that is here, and please pay attention to the Holy Spirit. The Word says that it's the Spirit that is going to bring to you conviction of any sin. I know it says about justice and what is to come. So we're going to do a prayer. We're going to ask the Lord to be with us and to teach us what He wants to teach us this morning through my lips. So let's bow our heads, please. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this morning. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for each and everyone that is here, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would use my lips for your glory. Thank you, God, because you are good. Your love is awesome. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross for our sins, that may we be forgiven by receiving your Son, Jesus Christ, as your promise, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that is with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, okay, so how's everybody doing today? Good. I know we had a lot of birthdays this month. Started with April Fool's Day, but for my sister, it's not April Fool's Day. It's her actual birthday, for Sandra. Okay, so before I get started with the message, oh yes, April 15, like my son too, Giovanni. Yes, and today is yours, right? Praise the Lord. Sandra G. Okay, there she is. Oh, we're talking about birthday. Oh, sister, okay. Well, happy birthday to each and everyone. And thank you, also known as Payin Julio. Gracias por estar con nosotros. I will be doing my own translation if I need to do it in Spanish. If not, I'll use Saul. But this morning, as you can see in the title of this message, what is the attitude that you have in prayer? So I hope that throughout the slides, we're going to be able to find out, first of all, on that question, what is prayer to me? And at the end also, we're going to be able to know whether we consider ourselves as the Pharisee or the tax collector. So let me go ahead and invite you all, if you haven't done so already, to turn your page in your Bible to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. And we're going to be looking through verses 9 through 14. And if you're there, either raise your hand or amen. Okay, I'm going to use this translation, which is, to me, it's easier to understand as well, but you may have a different translation. That's okay, too. And this is how it starts. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Now, Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and he says, he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and looked down on everyone else. And the story tells that, he says, two men went up to the temple complex to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee took his stand and was praying like this: God, I thank you that I am not like other people, greedy, unrighteous, adulterous, or even like the tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but kept on striking his chest, and saying, God, turn your wrath from me, a sinner. In another translation, it's different. But this is a standard, one of the standard translations. So, from this parable, you are going to find out in what area you're in, whether you are Pharisee or a tax collector. So, first of all, I need to make sure this works. Thank you, sister, for providing this. Okay? Okay, so what we find in this story, in this parable, we're going to look at the side of the Pharisee first. Okay, so what we find there, someone that, as the word says, some trusted in themselves. So he's not the only one going to pray. And we use the word prideful. This is someone that believes that what they're doing is good enough to get them into heaven or to be right with God. Now, the other word, farce, or someone like hypocrite. Have you ever met someone like that? And sometimes we can call ourselves Christians. Yes, we're still sinners. Selfish? That too. We're selfish. But I'm not implying that you are a Pharisee or that I am. You have to make yourself that examination and consider who you are. And how you consider yourself, we're going to look into furthermore in some other passages that we're going to look in, and also into the Bible. Because that's what I like to preach on. It's not something that I get out of my head. I like to back it up with the Word of God. Because it doesn't matter what Brother Giovanni says or anybody else. It's what the Word of God says. I make mistakes. I'm a sinner. But God does not make mistakes. He's not a sinner. So, on the good side, right? What did the tax collector do? Now, the story says that he didn't even want to look up to heaven. I don't know about you, but there are times where I don't know if I'm a Pharisee or the tax collector, or acting like one. Because, yes, it's not enough to do what we do at church. It's not enough. We have to have, like the tax collector, a humble attitude. Or some may say humble. And we find this, it's one of the attributions from the Holy Spirit. So if you have received Jesus Christ into your heart, then you have the Holy Spirit. And this is part of that manifestation. Humble. In other words, gentleness. So, being humble also means that you submit yourself to someone that is greater and higher, and you're asking for help. So it's okay to ask for help. And yes, and the middle point is, yes, you have to be genuine. You can't be a hypocrite. Yeah, you can say, come to God and say, when you pray, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I may not do what everybody else does, but I'm still a sinner. And I acknowledge that you know the truth of who I am. Because you may not even know yourself or your heart, but there's one that knows you very well. He's the one that created you. It's God. And on the last point, it has to be God-centered. In other words, you cannot come with a list of the do's, as Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says that you've been saved by grace alone. And that's a gift from God to you. So there's nothing that I do, whether here at church, at home, or at work, that makes me any better. I have to remember that it's God doing it through me. And yes, when I make mistakes, I have to come to Him. He's the only one. And I'm going to go ahead and continue on the next slide. And if you don't have to look up all the Bible verses that are in there, but they're there just for you also to have as a reference. So let's start with a question. Are you able to see it? What is prayer? I'm going to turn my back for a little bit because it's kind of hard for me to see that one over there. So what is prayer? And it says, is the primary way of the believer in Jesus Christ to communicate his emotions or her emotions and desires with God and to fellowship with God. It's a plain, simple definition. Okay, and where and in what manner should you pray? We grow probably seeing our parents pray, or you may not have grown where you didn't see anybody pray in your family. So we're going to talk about that as well. In what manner should you pray, right? So you can do it as sometimes we do. We can hear others praying to God, or you can do it in private. The Word says that, yes, you can come to the Father in private. And there are times, yes, you can pray in public. So, and the formal and or informal, sometimes, I was just earlier this morning, I was remembering the prayer of Peter. I don't know if anyone remembers, but Peter was walking on water. That was awesome. But then the waves, right? The storm and everything. And I like that he made that prayer. He didn't have time to start giving thanks to God and to make this list or a long prayer that sometimes we do. He says, this is found in Matthew 14:30. He said, Jesus, save me. Sometimes that's all you need to say. Jesus, save me. And someone may have taught you to do it in a certain way, but there's not a specific way. It also depends on the circumstances that you're in. Okay, so let us go ahead and, for those of you, some of the verses are familiar to me. So why should you pray to God and look at the difference? This is our God with a capital G, G-O-D, and not the other gods as it has this lowercase g. Okay, because there's only one God, and that's the one that we pray. So I hope that this morning that you're praying to the right God. And we're going to see through the scriptures as well. So why should you pray to God and not other gods? Ask yourself that question. Why should you pray to God and not other gods? And as the scripture there says, God can do the impossible. I don't know if you're praying to a different God, but our God does not have limits. He makes what is impossible for us possible. And we find that in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, but also in Jeremiah 32, 27, it says, is there anything that I can't do? This is my own term, but you can look it up. But is God saying, is there something that I cannot do? Is there something that God can do? Ask yourself that question. He can do all things. And I know we know this Bible verse very well. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Yes, we can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. But how much do you believe? Because you have to have also faith. Now the word also says, right? We're going to see it in the next, hopefully it'll be the next slide. Okay, so and you can be thinking, how may I pray? How do I pray? Should I pray like Brother so-and-so? Because I remember when I started coming to church, I would remember listening to my brothers and sisters pray. And I wanted to be like them. But you know what? You don't have to be like them because God did not create you to be like them. You have a special purpose in your life too. And He's calling you to pray to Him in a personal, intimate relationship with God. Okay, so see if it works. Yes. I may start needing some glasses now. Okay. I'm going to read from here. It's kind of hard from over there, but you can see it in the back. The Lord God Almighty is inviting you to pray. And we look at in Luke 18, verse 1, and 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. Prayer to God should be continually, constantly, every time. I don't remember the Bible verse, but Job, he says, the breath of the Almighty, right, is the one that gives me life. So who should I be praying to? The Almighty. The God of gods. So, just if you're able to see, it kind of looks a little small. Can everyone see this? Because you can also take a picture if you like. Okay? And then, and it's so simple. Everything is right there. Like, who am I praying to? I'm praying to God. And in what name do I pray? In Jesus' name. Now, I hope, and my hope at the end also of this sermon, that if you haven't come to the Lord yet, then you will know the truth, because the truth will set you free. And you will know why you need to pray to God, to the Father, but in the Son's name. And in those scriptures, if you look them up, it says, in the name of Jesus Christ. And up until now, I believe in chapter 14,